Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
You've shaken off that tryptophan sluggishness and you're all amped and ready to engage with the post-Thanksgiving Monday edition of the News Roundtable. Good morning. My name's Quaid. I'm joined in studio by Steve Bull, pressing the buttons behind the board. Scott Hardy's got news from the WTAD newsroom all the way momentarily. Coming up on the back half of today's show, we're going to talk about something that hasn't happened here in the land of Lincoln in a long, long time, and that is someone is actually challenging Speaker Madigan. And it's over who will sit in Representative Luis Arroyo's seat. This is something that Madigan, I'm sure, is not used to. Does he have a playbook as to how to handle this? We'll talk about that on the back half of today's show. First things first, in with all the latest from the WTAD newsroom, say good morning to Scott Hart.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. A New London man is dead after a one-vehicle accident early Saturday afternoon in Ralls County. The Missouri State Highway Patrol identifies him as 19-year-old Daryl Taylor of New London. Says the accident happened around 12:50 p.m. on Highway N, about 2.5 miles west of Saverton. A report from troopers says that Taylor's vehicle went off of a wet highway, ran off the left side of the road, and then overturned, coming to rest on its top in a ditch. Taylor was pronounced dead at the scene by the acting Ralls County coroner. City of Quincy says it's closed a four-block section of Hampshire Street for up to 5 months. City Engineering Department says that it's closed Hampshire Street from 12th to 16th Streets and 14th Street from Maine to Vermont, so water and sewer mains can be replaced. It's all a part of the Hampshire Street Improvement Project. Statement says the city expects those streets to be closed to traffic until May 1st. You're advised to drive carefully near the construction zone and to use an alternate travel route. Recent vote from board members of the military salute ended with the decision to end the organization due to the health issues of its founder, Dave Ulrich. Mid-America Military Salute on Sunday donated over $19,000 to area veterans by making equal $3,200 contributions to six organizations. In a statement, Mid-America Military Salute says that over the past 6 years, it's hosted around 18,000 people during their free veterans events at both the Adams County Fairgrounds and during the 4th of July weekend at the Oakley Lindsay Center and the Quincy Riverfront. The Adams County Health Department says that now is a good time to get your yearly flu shot. They, along with the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Centers for Disease Control, all recommend an annual flu vaccination for everyone 6 months and older. CDC says that a yearly flu vaccine is your best chance to reduce the chance of getting the seasonal flu and spreading it to others. Health Department says it has the flu vaccine available and that immunizations are available Monday through Friday from 8 to noon and from 1 to 4 p.m. It's $30 for the vaccine, $55 for a high-dose vaccine. Most insurances offer a $0 copay, and the Health Department will be able to bill most insurance, Illinois Medicaid and Medicare. You're also asked to bring your insurance card. A local college says that its nursing school is among the 10 best schools in the state of Missouri. That's according to Hannibal LaGrange University, who says its Craig Miles School of Nursing is on nurse.org's top 10 best nursing schools in Missouri list. The HLGU Nursing School, in a statement, said it received the recognition based on a number of factors, including reputation, NCLEX pass rate, tuition, acceptance rate, and accreditation. Statement from the college says that the flexibility of programs offered also lead to the award. HLGU credits its unique 3+1 associate plus BSN, which lets students become an RN in 3 years while completing their BSN in 4 years. In other news as well, the city of Hannibal says it plans to start a campaign tomorrow to raise residents' pride in the city. City says that it's kicking off the hashtag Hannibal Proud campaign Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. on the east side of City Hall. City plans to have signs available that say hashtag Hannibal Proud, with the first sign to be erected near the City Hall mural. Those signs will be given to any Hannibal resident without code violations for their home or property. They'll be available in the Department of Public Works office or the second floor of City Hall. City sponsoring the program along with other civic organizations and companies. City Manager Lisa Peck says she hopes the campaign inspires residents to work together to improve the city. In a statement, Peck says she envisions Hannibal being inundated with signs. Those signs will be the first phase of a gradual campaign. A contest showing renovations and gardens will be launched in the spring. That is a look at the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have more for you throughout the afternoon, including a look to tonight's Quincy City Council meeting, where the first reading of the proposed property tax ordinance is due to be read as well. So we'll have more details about that and more for you right here on WTAD.com and on our social media pages, including both Twitter and Facebook.
And a quick reminder, if I remember correctly, the property tax ordinance isn't about property taxes going up in the city.
That is correct. That is correct. It's just for the city's portion of your actual property tax bill, and the city's portion is only about 13% of your total bill.
Right.
And they're not looking at any increases this year. Unless the only increase that will be there is if the property value of your home increased, which you always hope it does.
Sure. All right. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. sir. It's 10:13. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, who's making such bold moves against Speaker Madigan?
I urge moderation.
We'll tell you who it is when we come back on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Sorry, Steve. I have no idea how old Snoopy is.
It's not his birthday. We're not playing the game.
Okay, good.
This is an interesting situation because my mind is like saying, well, I thought we had this in the bumper cart, but I didn't activate it. But it's in there for this time of year. So I'm looking around. I see a CD over there, Steve. Did you place that? Is that what that's from, or is that from earlier that Mary left
in the bumper
cart? It is in the bumper cart? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So did you activate it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I was like, well, I know this is in the bumper cart. I just don't remember activating it. It's right on time. So thank you, sir. Welcome back.
Welcome to old age, Quinn. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the News Roundtable, where old guys sit around and try and figure out just exactly what they have and haven't done.
Where's my belt?
Yeah, and Speaker Madigan probably tried to figure that out today, as his unquestioned rule is now being challenged, even in a small kind of way. Representative Luis Arroyo, as you know, ran into some issues here in the state six weeks ago, and has since resigned. Well, putting someone in his seat, apparently the people from that district decided to do a Madigan end-around. The Chicago Tribune ran a piece about this over the weekend, and they said a group of Democrat Party leaders on the northwest side of Chicago used votes of former state rep Luis Arroyo to choose his replacement. And this is setting up a situation that the General Assembly in Springfield hasn't seen in a long, long time. Because, as we know, the rules here in Illinois, the unwritten rules are you go to Madigan first and ask, Speaker, may I? And he gives you the wink or the nod or whatever, the commodus thumbs down, I don't know. But you go to Madigan first, or you go to Madigan's people first. And this group didn't do that. And it's interesting how this went about. I didn't realize that this is how this could have even played out. Arroyo hung on to his Democrat committeeman position for the 36th Ward, despite the fact that party leaders in Cook County were asking him to resign. The speaker said there would be a challenge to any appointment made with the input of the 36th Ward. Well, wouldn't they want to have some say on that? State law requires local party leaders in the district to meet and pick Arroyo's replacement within 30 days of that office being vacated. Committeemen in the district get a weighted vote based on the number of ballots cast for Arroyo in their city wards and in a suburban township in the November 2018 election, meaning that there's essentially weighted votes. So Arroyo's weighted vote essentially got moved by proxy to someone else. And they used his 37% of the weighted vote. Alderman Ariel Reboiris did this, and they moved forward and combined Arroyo's 37% of the weighted vote along with Reboiris's 19% share, essentially giving him control of the process. Yeah, and they decided then named Ava Dina Delgado, People's Gas Chief of Staff, to the empty seat. Arroyo wasn't there for this meeting. Like I said, Reboiris had his vote, his weighted vote, as proxy. And Reboiris said that they didn't even consult on Delgado. So Delgado then has been added to the House roster as her paperwork's been filed with the clerk's office. And this sets up a situation where, well, you don't go around Madigan, but Madigan's been gone around per the rules, the written rules. The unwritten rules are you go to Madigan. Well,
don't you mean friend with a capital F?
Himself, yes, yeah. With a capital H. Sorry about that. I am originally from, born in this state, so I should know these things. Now, interestingly, you have a situation where, well, is Madigan going to insert himself into the middle of this? Any voter in the district or any member of the House now has the ability to file a petition to challenge the legality of that appointment. And as the Tribune pointed out, as of Friday, nobody had filed any such petition. But once that happens, the House then would have to form a committee and review Delgado's appointment. Now, Democrats have the majority on the committee because they have an overwhelming majority in the House. Madigan, however, gets to determine the exact number. Again, bringing it back to himself. They would need a 3/5 majority to remove Delgado from that seat as of now. Does Madigan have enough sway to get a 3/5 majority vote? Some people would say yes. However, with this end around, is there some cracks in Madigan's unquestioned rule? Now, essentially, what you would have moving forward is, if they decide to do so, a House committee, that committee would have the power to summon and depose witnesses and also subpoena documents. It would be kind of like what's been going on in the House in D.C. concerning the impeachment inquiry of President Trump. All the committee's proceedings, per the Tribune, would be transcribed, kind of like they would do if it were in court. It's fascinating how this could go. Again, this is all based on whether somebody has filed petition and whether Madigan would be putting things in motion behind the scenes as he wants to do. Delgado, as you have the right to do in this country, and as the Tribune points out, would have the ability to be represented by an attorney. She just wouldn't be sitting there watching this go on all around her. She would also be able to confront any witnesses or evidence that would then be presented. It would take 71 or more votes to remove Delgado, and then you had to have to start the process all over again, and you would have to choose a new representative. Are you willing to go through all of that just to get to someone that, I don't know, you think you would rather have? I'm not sure, because this hasn't happened in such a long time. I'm not sure how, if there's an old dusty page in the back of Speaker Madigan's handbook on how you handle a situation like this or not. It's kind of interesting because ultimately it could end up
in court. And a judge could be involved in all of this. And do you want to disenfranchise a bunch of voters from a particular ward that Arroyo has represented until he decided to bow out and challenge to Madigan openly here is kind of interesting, especially in Chicago. Now, if somebody downstate did it, all right, we would be like, yeah. Interesting. I think it carries more weight that it's happened in the Chicagoland area. In any other state, it would be newsworthy. But in Illinois, there's added weight to this, as Madigan is singularly powerful by his own design. I mean, previously, as we've pointed out on this show, just to vote present, or not even vote the way Speaker Madigan wants you to, or the way, quote-unquote, it's done, was frowned upon and didn't happen. That's just not the way things get. If you remember emails back and forth between a particular representative who decided, maybe I don't want to vote that way, so maybe I won't vote against, but maybe I just won't vote at all, and that was for Speaker Madigan being Speaker. And there were a lot of intervening people and messages saying, this isn't the way it's done here in Illinois. Really? We don't get to vote the way our constituents have elected us to vote? We have to go through Speaker Madigan on that? That's kind of the dynamic that we've gotten used to. It's not the way it's done. This is the way we've always done it. But it's a perfect opportunity to bring up what leadership is supposed to be. Now, and I don't know anything about Ava Dina Delgado, other than she's the chief of staff of People's Gas. I don't know. Is Delgado somebody who's going to get along and go along? Again, I don't know. Does Speaker Madigan know that? Is that what you want? Is that what that district is looking for? Somebody to go along to get along? Is that what we need in Illinois right now? Or do we need somebody who can be up above the fray and not be involved in things the way they tend to be at this point in time? Wouldn't you want somebody who couldn't be tied to any investigation that may be going on at the federal level right now? And ultimately, are you trying to put somebody in there for your own power play so that you can say, well, I can perceive a time and maybe I can manipulate a time where Madigan doesn't have the sway and maybe I can build some up for myself? Is that really what you want in a leader? Do you want the next Madigan to be just like the current Speaker Madigan? Or
the way we've always done it.
Or do we want representation to be what it's supposed to be? You know, representative of your district, the people who voted for you, not where Speaker Madigan tells you to go first and foremost, and then how to spin it to the people who voted for you. Leadership isn't about getting along to go along. It's about representing the people who've elected you and to be in office, to represent them. It's literally the definition. To do the best for the people you represent, not to do things the way we do things to get things done. Keep an eye on new representative Ava Dina Delgado and what's going on with that seat in Springfield. And if Speaker Madigan lets this fly, does that show in his own mind weakness? In I would say months past, and especially years past, that answer would have been yes. What does that mean for Illinois moving forward? Stay tuned. That's the Monday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be here too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.